Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast with J. Patrick Rick. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and we're talking about his latest work called That Purloined Diary, about the unsettling case study of exorcism. And it is. How close, Patrick, did Blatty's book and the movie The Exorcist come to the real, actual thing, other than the sex, the little girl in the movie, the little boy in real life? But what about the way it was presented?
Night and day, if you remember back, the story that was told in the movie itself, there was a lot of modern medical technology used in there.
Yeah.
So, which Blatty really had to do, you know, in the 70s, there used to have been a lot of technology come out that could not have been recognized back in 1949. It was something that caught my eye, since I've been involved in medical imaging equipment for many years. That caught my eye. Generally speaking, when you have a story about a boy versus a girl, there are just things that you can't pursue because someone's a boy or because someone is a girl. So generally speaking, I do not feel like the movie followed the book, nor did the book and the movie together resemble anything that took place in 1949.
I would guess that the little boy in actuality's head didn't spin around like she did in the movie.
The journals don't report anybody quibbling and surviving.
But anyways, back to Bodrin and, of course, Walter Halloran, who, as you say, was the unsuspecting person involved in all of this. I would assume he was needed to hold the kid down.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things, and for that, he had to pay a price, too. The kid broke his nose.
The kid broke Walter's nose?
Yes. So the kid was notorious for being able to spit with his eyes closed and nail somebody right in the face.
Jeez.
The same was true with his fist. That when he felt like it, or he wanted to push some issues, he would swing out. And in this, I know there was a bloody nose that another priest received. He didn't break his nose, but Halloran did, ended up with a broken nose.
How long was the kid possessed, Patrick?
His symptoms seemed to start late in the prior year, so that would have been late 48. And it began to build and build and build. There were some efforts made to resolve the issues back in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area. That was not successful. And so they packed their bags up and moved out to St. Louis to see if they could get some relief for themselves. Well, I say them, I'm mm-hmm. speaking of his family, but see if they could get relief for each other. So there was family that lived in St. Louis, and that's where they went.
Did they ever have a psychiatrist examine him? And the psychiatrist said, this kid's nuts, or anything like that?
Well, there's hearsay that that was the case. Knowing what I know of the Alexian brothers and what they would have required, I fully expect that the stories that I hear are probably accurate. I can't say I heard this from anyone in particular, but it is, you know, basic hubbub about what took place. And it was my understanding that, you know, psychiatrists, neurologists, they did play a role in diagnosing the boy, or at least ruling out those psychiatric diseases that someone might have that resemble being possessed. So after the physicians had a chance to evaluate the boy, both here and in back east, it was decided to move forward with the exorcism.
Just remarkable. And I had heard, and maybe this showed up in documents, you tell me, but when they shut down the Alexian Brothers Hospital and planned to demolish it, the brothers sold off all the furniture and artifacts that were in the hospital. So in the rooms, they sold off beds and dressers and things like that. And whoever ended up buying the furniture in the room where the little boy was started reporting bizarre things going on with them. Had you ever heard that story?
Well, I have heard of a desk containing some documents. The desk was supposed to be a part of that that room. I don't know that to be true. I don't know it to be false. There are stories about the room, which was on the fifth floor, where the psychiatric unit was. There's stories from people that after everything quieted down, as a matter of fact, I met one of those individuals less than a year ago, and he had a funny story to tell. They had turned that room into a sort of a supply room. It sounds funny, but that's the room where the exorcism finally took place, and they stored toilet paper in there, sort of a dichotomy.
I would not go into that room if you paid me.
Well, we were looking for volunteers, and I was going to ask you, but you've answered that question already.
Now, the name of your book is called The Purloined Diary. Now, purloined means steal. Are we talking about the information that was obtained in some strange way?
Well, yes. And it is true. It depends on what website you go to when you're looking for a definition. So you can get an angry definition, or you can get a milder definition. So I have chosen to use the word purloined because you can ride the fence on it.
As opposed to the stolen diary or something.
Exactly, except for the stolen. In other words, it was borrowed for a period of time.
Uh-huh. This is a fascinating case. The Catholic Church, Patrick, takes exorcisms darn seriously. I think they have like 120 exorcists within the church, all trained, and they continually look for more, don't they?
I don't know what the number is, but years ago, the Pope at the time declared that every diocese had to name someone to be an exorcist. Now, I think there's plenty of dioceses out there where there is not a particular individual who performs as the exorcist. But this is not well-advertised capability that the church offers, but it is true. The Vatican wants an exorcist in every diocese.
This little boy, if he's alive, could be in his 80s right about now. Do you know where he is or what happened to him?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my gosh. It's time to tell us, Patrick. Is he alive?
Yes, he is.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Can you reveal his name?
No.
Or not? You can't. Where does he live?
In a house.
Oh, I mean, is he in St. Louis? I'm here.
Are you looking for company?
Not tonight.
No, he does not live in St. Louis. I will tell you that. And let me address that.
We're making history tonight because nobody knows this story, that this child who is now, am I right? Would he be in his 80s?
He would be roughly 85 years old.
Is still alive, and he may be listening to the program tonight. Possible?
He may be. He may be. The boy has never been heard of or heard from since he sort of parted ways with the Alexian brothers, because he became big buddies with the Alexian brothers. And I think there were several occasions where the family did come back. How many times, I'm not sure. But the family became Catholic after this. Of course, the boy had to become Catholic. And they really became attached to the Alexian brothers. But that went away. You know, the parents died, the connections. We all have those things happen to us. Somebody that was a friend 10 years ago is never heard from anymore. But the boy said when the exorcism was over, that Monday after the Easter Sunday, he announced, "I'm healed," or whatever terminology he used. There were particular words. I had to go to the diary to look at his precise words. But he says that he remembered nothing.
Nothing. I was gonna ask you if he knew anything prior to the exorcism, that personality, that demonic feeling. And I guess it's, you just answered that. Nothing.
He says no. Now, of course, if people know that you're that boy that was in St. Louis sort of situation, it is probably a lot easier to simply say, "I don't remember."
That's true.
That can be an escape. And he deserves that escape if that's what he wanted.
Have you ever spoken to him?
No.
You have not. Would you like to?
Have I tried? Yes. But I have not been successful.
How do you know he's alive?
Because I had some detective work done.
Interesting. Have you been able to send him letters?
When I have made that effort, correspondence was returned to sender.
Like somebody hadn't written in on it or something like that?
Well, that's normal. Yeah, you know, when someone handwrites return to sender, and I bet you we have a generation that, that have no idea what return to sender is.
Exactly, exactly.
But
it's like an email that comes back to you, folks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's sort of, it's a way of making a statement too.
So it's conceivable that he knows that somebody's been trying to reach him, reach out to him, and he just doesn't want anything to do with anybody.
Well, let me be frank with you. The internet is full of information about this case.
Is it accurate?
Some of it is very accurate. Some of it is somebody's imagination. With a connection that I had with the Alexian brothers and their connection with the Jesuits, I feel like I'm pretty well tuned in to what's true and what's not true. But I don't know everything about this, but I've gone to a lot of effort to tell an accurate story. If I don't know the answers, I avoid it.
You've done a great job with this story, as a matter of fact. I mean, a truly remarkable job.
Thank you.
In your opinion, what do you think this demonic state is that this poor little boy went through and that so many other people have been or are going through, which requires exorcists and exorcisms? What are they? What's going on here?
Well, I started writing the book, and I don't even know exactly where it is in the book. I promised the readers that I would not try to sell anybody on the idea of exorcism or debunk exorcism. I have tried to report this story and not take a side. But I can't help but believe, from everything I have heard, from the documents that I have read, I can imagine holy people like Jesuits and the Lutheran ministers and the bishop and all of these people that had to play a role in this. I can't imagine people making up a lie like this. Exaggerations, perhaps, but I believe that something very out of the ordinary took place in 1949, St. Louis.
And continues to happen to other people. It hasn't stopped.
Do you mean regarding this particular?
No, case? other people. New cases.
Oh, listen, Italy. Italy is the ground zero when it comes to exorcism. It's almost like let's who's being exorcised today, and we're all going to go over to the church and we're going to watch this. There's a lot of craziness going on, and I'm not using the word crazy. Crazy in that there are a lot of people showing up at the doorsteps of priests insisting they are possessed and they want to be exorcised tomorrow afternoon. And Italy is just full of this. And they're almost making a mockery in many cases.
It is probably one of the most bizarre episodes in human existence, these demonic forces that are out there. I believe it. It's real. They're out there, to be sure.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s. Dance away with hip-hop beats and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.